So how do you find the cheapest tax sale properties? In today's episode, I'm going to tell you all about it. Welcome to the Tax Sale Podcast, where tax sale investing is made easy. My name is Casey Dibben. I'm a tax sale veteran, tax sale expert. I'm the author of The Tax Sale Playbook, founder of the Tax Sale Academy, and I am your host right here on the Tax Sale Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me on today's podcast episode. Let's talk about those cheap tax sale properties. Now, I've got podcast episodes, I've got videos, and I've discussed inside the Academy in depth many stories surrounding some of the cheapest properties that I have ever purchased. A couple of the most popular videos I've ever published are about $20 houses and how I turned $2,000 into $24,000. So I wanted to go over some suggestions today when it comes to finding the cheapest properties at tax sales. Let's get to it. First off, I'm going to add a word of caution here. Before you start on your quest for the cheapest properties, or before you even start in the tax sale business at all, do yourself a favor and learn what you are doing. There is far more to this business than just buying and then flipping properties left and right. I see so many people just go straight into it, and what happens is they usually start off with a mistake or two. They buy junk, they waste their money, and then they are out of business with a much lighter bank account a very short time later. I hear these stories literally every single day from people who stumble across my channel after they made a mistake like that. Also remember, cheap does not always mean good. There is a major difference between cheap and good. I always caution people that if you find a property that is incredibly cheap, about 3/4 of the time, that means there's something incredibly wrong with that property. For example, just the other day, I saw a 1-acre parcel in the middle of a subdivision. That subdivision had been completely built out. There were existing homes all around it. Upon further research, it became obvious that parcel is going to be used for water runoff, and a portion of the property has the community lift station on it and is classified as being unbuildable. The sad reality is that many brand new tax sale investors often target the cheapest properties because that's what their budgets allow. Those same properties, however, often require the most diligent and skillful research and knowledge of what you are doing. So if you target cheap properties, learn first. And remember that you're not limited to just the investment you have in that property should somebody decide to sue you if you make a mistake serious enough. All right, back to the tips. The first one is to avoid big markets. It goes without saying, the bigger the market is, the bigger the audience is going to be in that market. If the county population is well into the millions, the market is just way too big to find cheap properties. In these types of areas, we constantly see bidding wars with people who have no idea what they're even bidding on. Prices are inflated, margins are deflated, or even inverse, where they lose money on their investment. And this is something that I see that pretty much rings true throughout all different market cycles and throughout the entire country. I've seen this trend for the better part of 2 decades now. So I always pose this question to myself and to members of my academy. If somebody lives on the other side of the country and you name the biggest city in the market that you are thinking about investing in, would they recognize it? If the answer is yes, the market is too big. So for example, let's say you live in California and I want to invest in Florida. If I went to a random person in California and say, do you recognize the city name Orlando? Odds are they probably recognize it, which means you should probably avoid that market because there's going to be too much competition. Now, can you find deals in the bigger markets? Yes. Orlando is in Orange County. I have members in the academy right now that make money in Orange County. But are there better options than that? Yes, absolutely. In addition to investing in Orange County, they also invest in many other markets. What I'm trying to get at is if you're looking for the cheapest properties, the big markets are usually not going to be your best bet. That leads us to the next part of this tip. Rural areas are usually going to be your best bet when it comes to the cheapest properties. You have to remember that the minimum bid on most tax foreclosed properties is the amount of back due taxes, interest, and fees that are owed on that property. In some of the more populated areas, even in those that are not all that well known, the tax rates are extremely high. This in turn means that the opening bids are also going to be awfully high. So do not skip over the rural areas, because those are going to be where the cheapest properties are at. Now, obviously, understand that if you buy something where it is so rural you can drive and not see a single person for hours and hours, you're probably going to need some very creative marketing strategies if you want to sell that property. But generally speaking, the more rural the property is, the cheaper those properties are going to be. The next suggestion is to adjust your property type. While you can get houses for cheap, and while I do give plenty of examples of just how cheap you can get those houses, remember the $20 house video that I have, if you are wanting the absolute cheapest properties, you likely need to pay attention to vacant land. Houses and buildings are attractive, and they make for great stories, but do not overlook the boring vacant land. Over the course of my career, I've made far more money on vacant land than I have on houses. That boring little quarter acre lot that might even be on a dirt road, yeah, in some cases, it might as well have gold sitting on top of it. Vacant land is something that so many investors, especially new investors, tend to overlook. Don't. It's profitable. And for the sake of this episode, it is cheap. The barrier to entry is very, very low for vacant land. The next suggestion is to scour OTC lists. Now, in some states, properties that go unsold at a tax sale auction get added to what is called an over-the-counter tax sale list. This is simply where you walk in, you buy the property at the price it is offered at, usually the back due taxes, but sometimes even less, then you walk out as the owner of the property and turn right around and resell it. Now, a few things here. Let me reiterate this. The properties that end up on OTC list went unsold at a tax sale auction. It could be that they were overlooked, or it could be that they had major, major issues, and the folks in that room skipped over those properties for a very obvious reason, at least to them. So make sure that you do proper diligence and even deeper due diligence when you're looking at OTC tax sale properties. There's lots and lots of strategies around OTC investing, and I'm barely scratching the surface right now. I actually have an entire class on OTC investing inside the Tax Sale Academy if you're interested in that stuff. There's lots to it, but if you want the cheapest properties, OTC list are where it is at. The next tip I've got for you today is exposure. And this is a tip that I give to a lot of brand new tax sale investors. I have a podcast episode that is titled Best Day of My Tax Sale Life. Long story short, there are some issues with the auction company and their technology. This delayed the sale for 2 or 3 hours. Most people left the auction, and eventually it got to the point where I was buying nearly every single property that I wanted at the opening bid, which I should note, this was also at a no reserve auction, so the opening bids were $20. The story of the $20 house was from a different auction, as was the 1 cent property and many others. But the point of saying all this is basically to let you know that didn't happen at my first auction or my second auction or my third auction. This happened after I was exposed to billions upon billions of dollars worth of real estate that had been sold at tax sale auctions that I attended. If you go to one auction a year, that's one shot at properties, right? If you go to one auction every single day, Monday through Friday, you suddenly increase your chances of finding the cheapest properties by 260. The more properties that you see auctioned off, the more properties you'll be able to buy at incredibly cheap prices. You know, it's kind of funny to me when people say, I went to one or two auctions and there just weren't any deals. The truth is that number is way, way too low to even justify any sort of opinion about this business. If that same person attends one or two auctions per day, I don't know, for 6 months or a year, they're gonna be drowning in as many deals as they want. Most people, when they get into this business and they're looking for cheap properties, they just don't put forth the effort to watch as many properties get sold as possible. And then last tip I have for today is have patience. You know, the more capital that you have to deploy, the more options you have. The investor who starts with $1 million has much different objectives and strategies than the investor who starts with $100, right? Learn and accept this from the very beginning, and it'll be a much, much smoother ride for you. Don't try to compete with those guys who have millions upon millions of dollars to invest, and you're sitting there with $500. Listen, I started using my Visa and my MasterCard with very high interest cash advances. I actually write about this in Tax Sell Playbook, so I understand what it's like to have a very small budget. I've been there before, and most of my members start off that way. But just understand that you are operating on a different level, and your options are going to be much more limited. That means you cannot accept a marginal return on an average deal. Instead, you should skip those deals, sit back, wait for the right opportunity to come along, cherry pick the correct opportunity for you, all of course while learning and while observing the process in the meantime. To this day, there are months that go by between deals sometimes, and that's entirely okay to me. I understand that part of the business. You know, I might do incredibly well this month, and it might be 2-3 months before I get another 10 or 15 properties, right? Wait for the best deals. Pounce on those deals when they do show up. Take advantage of them. Make your money and do it all over again. Listen, that is all I've got for you today. Obviously, I've got episodes and videos on most of these topics in this podcast, on YouTube, in my book, and of course, we teach about each one of these in depth inside the Tax Sell Academy. If you are looking to go into much more detail about anything that we discussed today, I truly hope that this episode and this podcast helps you out. If so, please do me a huge favor. Please leave me a positive review on whatever podcasting platform you're listening to us on today. This podcast is free. I don't charge a membership or a listening fee, and I'm not trying to bombard you with ads or anything like that, but your reviews really do help us out, and they might even serve to pay it forward simply because somebody learns about this business because you took a few seconds out of your day to leave a positive review or to tap that 5-star review button. And as always, if we can be of any additional help, make sure you check out all the links in today's show notes, including one to our primary site at TaxSellAcademy.com. Hey, take care and make it a successful day. We'll see you next time right here on the Tax Sell Podcast.